Thank you, Chad. Absolutely beautiful. So grateful for you and grateful for you all being here today. Grateful for all that God is doing. Grateful for all the children that have gathered here today. Seen so many children and young folks and a lot of new faces today. Welcome. If you're visiting with us today, I pray that you keep on coming. If you're new to the Creek, I pray that you keep on coming. As we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ to worship Him and also to dig into the very Word of God, which is truth. And I want you to bring your Bibles or your electronic device that carries your Bible, however it is that you can have God's Word, the Scripture, in front of you today. And grateful that you believe in God, grateful that you are seeking after the Lord. And today, God has a word for us as we continue in our study in the book of Philippians, and let's give God our utmost attention today. I know there are many things that vie for our attention and distractions that are around us. I believe God has a word very challenging for us as we are in the second half of chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. But you remember, in the first part of chapter 3, Paul, the apostle, was pouring out his heart to this young church and appealing to them, and he is appealing to us as well. And I make no apologies today to say that God wants to be your ultimate goal. The Lord Jesus Christ is your ultimate priority and your ultimate prize. And I pray that you would come to that conclusion and that decision today. And it will not happen for you if you are not listening and focusing in on God's word. So let us hear from the Lord this morning. You remember when Paul was appealing to these young believers, and he said about his relationship with Christ, I want to be found in Christ when the Lord returns. I want to be found in Him. He also said that I want to know Him. He wasn't speaking about religion and rituals and the religions of men, the rituals of men. He said, I want to know Him personally and experientially. I want to know Christ. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. And I want to be identified with and be a participant in His sufferings, that I might know Christ and be conformed into His likeness and image. I want to be found on Him on that day. I want to know Christ. And now as He's speaking to them, He says in verse 12, He says, not that I have already attained to this, or that I am in any way already perfect, perfectly mature, that I have arrived in my spiritual journey. He's talking about growing up in Christ. Listen, there's a young boy, he grows up to be a man. There's a young lady, she grows up to be a woman. Physically, we know that to be true, but he's talking about spiritually speaking. I don't know how you are and how far along you are in your spiritual journey, but I tell you this, you are not done yet. God is not done with you yet. Some of you are just now beginning, and He wants you to press on. Press on still more. And this is viewed in some ways as an athletic event, a race, where Paul is saying, listen, I'm not done yet. God hasn't taken me home yet. And until He does, I'm pressing on. I haven't arrived yet, and there's no one in this room who has. But we are growing up in Christ, aren't we? That's God's desire. He says, not that I've already attained or that I am already spiritually mature, perfect, complete. He says, but I press on. Let me ask you today, would you be genuine and honest before God? Are you pressing on in your relationship with the Lord, growing in the knowledge of His Word, growing as you serve, as you give, as you go, as you are a witness and ambassador for Christ? This is who you are. Are you pressing on in your walk with the Lord? Paul says, but yet I press on, that I may lay hold of, that I might grab hold of, that for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Now, let me make sure we understand what he's talking about right here. He's not talking about pressing on and striving to obtain salvation. Okay? He already has that. He's been born again. He's been saved. He has already put his faith in Christ. What he's talking about is, now that I've been saved, I have begun my race and I'm pressing on. You see, once you get saved, that's not the end. and you check out, say, hey, I've got my fire insurance, I'm good. That's not the end. It's just the beginning of your race. Now you're born again. You're growing up in Christ. You're feasting on the Word. Paul would also liken this in a very interesting way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he talks about, I'm pressing on, I'm growing in my faith, because God is going to evaluate my life. He talks about the bema seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. Did you know if you've trusted Christ, every one of you has an appointment to stand before God at the bema, or the judgment seat of Christ, and that's the judgment where you stand before Christ, and it's an evaluation of the believer's life. How's that going to look for you? The evaluation of your life as you stand before the Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says that, you know, believers, they live their lives, and some of them waste their lives. It's wood, hay, and straw. They live for the temporary. They live for the things of the world and selfish desires, and they don't participate in that race. And he says the fire of God's evaluation and judgment on the believer, it's not a judgment of condemnation, but the wood, hay, and straw is consumed, it's lost, there's no reward, but the gold, the silver, and the precious stone, that which remains as he evaluates your life, he says that which remains, the believer receives a reward. I don't know about you, but I'm pressing on. I'm orienting my life around this goal to strive to win that race that God has before me. It's an evaluation for the believer, and he says, I press on so that I might attain and lay hold of that which Christ laid hold of me. He says, brethren, verse 13, I do not count myself as having already apprehended or laid hold of it. God's not done with me. I'm not done running this race. I'm pressing on. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead. Listen, there are so many believers that are caught up in the past. Something may have happened to you. Immorality, feel like you may have wasted your life and Satan is constantly bringing it up in your life. Listen, when Satan reminds you about your past, you just remind him about his future. Some of you are living in the past, kind of reflecting on the glory days, thinking that that was enough. And you're thinking, hey, what about that great time, that great mission trip? And we saw 5,000 people come to Christ. Yeah, when was that? It was 25 years ago. Listen, God is interested in what are you doing today? Not reliving the glory years and the good old days back in the day when I served the Lord. Listen, if you're still alive, and everyone in this room looks to be alive, God wants to use you. You're not done. God's not done with you yet. How do I know? You're still breathing. And God has given every one of you, whether you're 6 or 96, men or women, doesn't matter the color of your skin, your nationality, your financial background, we've got it all right here. Over 20 different languages spoken at the Creek. I love it. God's not done. He's given each one of you a spiritual gift, if not two or three. And God wants to use you, whether you're 6 or 96. He wants to use you today, not has-been memories. God wants you to serve him today. Listen, don't let your past ruin or hinder your future. And you don't need to worry about tomorrow, for God is already there. And you can trust the Lord. And so Paul says, hey, forgetting the things which are behind, I'm not going to let them hinder me. There was a young lady that came up after the second service today. She says, that reminded me when I was in a race. My mama told me, she said, don't look to the left or the right. Don't look behind you. Just keep on going for the finish line. That's what I did. And I won the race. I said, that's exactly what God's talking about. But in a spiritual sense, taking dead aim on the rest of your life, that you're going to live for the Lord. Forgetting about those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call, the heavenly call, something that's higher, something that's greater. That was what was driving Paul. Listen, he had a bigger goal. a much greater vision for his life than the silly temporal things that this world tries to distract you with. He says, I press on toward the goal. It's interesting, people have life goals today. I remember in sixth grade when I was living in Columbus, Georgia, a friend of mine said, I've got a life goal. He said by the time he grows up, he wanted to become a millionaire. That's the first time I really heard anybody's life goal. And he was determined. I remember he said it in seventh grade, eighth grade. When he grows up, he's going to be a millionaire. That was his life goal. I don't know if he ever achieved that or not. I don't know what you do with that when you stand before the Lord and say, I'm a millionaire. In fact, God probably say, you know what? I actually own everything anyway. I was just letting you borrow it for a certain time to see what you would do with it. And then there are other life goals. Something that has stood out to me. Some of you follow golf. Not all of you do. But you know Tiger Woods. He was voted number one athlete of the year. He's the number one golfer in the world today. Do you know he has stated since a very young age his life goal? Do you know what that is? To surpass Jack Nicklaus's lifetime career of 18 major golf tournament victories. 18 major championships. Tiger's life goal is to surpass that. Again, I don't know what you do when you stand before the Lord and say, hey, I've got 19 world golf championships. I don't think the Lord is impressed with that. But listen, don't misunderstand me. It is good to have goals. And I want you to have goals, but all of those goals must be a distant second to the one goal of knowing Christ and making him known. He says right here, I press toward the goal. And then when I was in Maryland, my pastor at that time had written that on his wall as a reminder to wake up and to see that, constantly putting that before himself. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God so that he would constantly be reminded, and you and I need to be reminded as well, what's your goal? God wants you to have a bigger vision for your life. Yesterday, it was interesting, driving home from a baseball tournament, my son and some of his friends, we're driving in the car, and I think we passed a fancy car, and that, you know, with young guys start talking about Ferraris and Lamborghinis, and man, that's a good conversation. Those are some fancy cars. And as we were talking about Ferraris and Lamborghinis, I said, hey, I've got a better idea. I want you to have a bigger vision. You know what, boys? You could have a car like mine. But Pastor David, your car's 14 years old. I know. Pastor David, your car's kind of small. I know. Pastor David, your car kind of stinks. I know. Do you remember that day, boys, last week when I picked you up and you tried to put your stuff in the trunk, but I had forgotten to take the garbage out of the back and it was still in there for a couple days? Oh, yeah, we remember that. Yeah, we had to crunch in the back. We had to crunch into the back seat and hold all of our baseball stuff because the trunk was full. I said, yeah, those are good times, aren't they? You remember that? He goes, yeah, we'll never forget that. And I want you to know, if you would get a car like mine, do you know how much money you could save? And you could take the difference between that Ferrari and that 14-year-old beautiful car that I drive. And you know what you could do? God would use you with the difference. You could go with me to India, and God would use you and your financial resources and your time. And you could build a church, you could build a well where they come and gather for water and the pastors are able to reach into the community. God would use you and your resources, and you could see hundreds, if not thousands, God would use you to see hundreds of thousands of people come to Christ because you had a vision bigger than yourself. You had a vision about things that were eternal. Can you imagine that? You can see their eyes start rolling around. You know what? I think God cares more about the eternal souls of men than the type of car I drive. That's a bigger vision. This is exactly what Paul's talking about right here. He says, I press forward for the goal. In other words, my life is now being oriented around the things that glorify God.
I press toward the goal of that upward call, a higher calling in my life, the call of God in Christ Jesus. And so he says in verse 15, therefore, let us as many as who are mature, in other words, we're now starting to understand these spiritual concepts. Let us have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, in other words, if you don't agree with what's being said here, notice what he says. It's interesting. He says, then God will reveal it, even this for you. God's going to reveal this to you. In other words, if you don't agree with that, go home, take a knee and say, God, how do you want me to orient my life? What is the priority of my life? Listen, there's nothing wrong with having a nice car or a nice house. Don't get me wrong. But Christ has to be the priority so that people see that being lived out in your life. Nevertheless, verse 16, to the degree that we have already attained and started running this race now, let us walk by the same rule, the measure of God's word, and let us be of the same mind. As God's people, we should all have this priority of Christ. Is Christ your priority? Is he your prize today? Verse 17, brethren, I want you to join in following my example. In other words, Paul had laid hold of this concept. He was living his life with Christ as the priority. And he says, now I want you to look to me. Follow my example. Mimitas, where we get the word mimic. In other words, mimic my life. I want you to see how I'm walking with the Lord. And just as he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He was setting a living example for them. Listen, dads and moms, do your children look to your life and say, that's my marriage, that's my life, that's how I spend my money, that's how I spend my time. Those affections that you have in your lives are very visible to your children and to coworkers. What am I living for? How am I living my life? Can you say to others in your class, to others on your team, in your school, wherever it might be, in your neighborhoods, in your family, follow me, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. And note those who walk in such a way as you have also seen in us a pattern or a type. But then as opposed to that, notice in verse 18 he says, for be careful now, many walk in such a way of whom I have told you often. And now I even tell you with tears, with weeping, that they are the enemies of Christ. They are the enemies of the cross of Christ by how they conduct themselves. They are living contrary to the word they profess and so set themselves up as enemies of the cross. Four things about them in verse 19, whose end is their destruction. How does it end for those who don't set Christ as their goal? Notice this, secondly, whose God is their belly. What does he mean by that? Their God is their belly. In other words, their appetites in the flesh are after things of this world. In other words, their goal is to satisfy themselves rather than to satisfy Christ. Let me ask you, who are you living to satisfy? Yourself or your God? Yourself or Christ? And what Paul is challenging each one of us in this room today, listen, if you're sitting here going, oh no, I've messed up, remember, putting behind us the things that are of the past, and now all of a sudden we're hearing this word today. That's a beautiful word, today. The future is behind us. You say, God, I've blown it. That's right. We've got a God of mercy and hope who forgives. And you say, God, today. That's why it's called a present, the present. It's a gift from God. Today, God, moving forward, would you orient my thinking? God, would you help me to imitate those who walk with Christ? God, that when I wake up in the morning, my desires say, God, what satisfies you? How can I glorify you in how I live my life? Whose God is their belly, and thirdly, whose glory is in their shame, and fourthly, who set their minds on earthly things. It's kind of easy to do in the materialistic world that we live in today to look around and to set our affections on earthly things, to set our minds on earthly things. But Paul would say in Colossians, he says, set your minds on things above. You know, there's a saying that says, that person is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But I don't believe that. I think if you are heavenly minded and you're living for Christ, you'll be very earthly good. You'll accomplish much for the kingdom of God as ambassadors on this side of eternity. And so let us set our sights on things for above. You say, Pastor, if I do that, if I'm living for this king that's not here yet, if I'm living in view of a kingdom that hasn't manifested itself on this dark and lost world, people are going to think I'm from a different place. Exactly. That's why he says in verse 20, for our citizenship is where? Our citizenship, the believer's citizenship. Are you a follower of Christ? Our citizenship is in heaven, whom which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. He's coming again. I wake up and I say, is today the day? We start planning a trip somewhere. I'm saying, well, hey, if the Lord hasn't come back, hey, what are we doing for dinner tonight? Hey, if the Lord hadn't come back, constantly reminding myself and my family, hey, I'm eagerly awaiting that day because I know it's coming soon. Hey, listen, yesterday, playing some baseball and forecast for rain, you know, these devices today are pretty cool, you know, iPhones or whatever, smartphones, and I'm going, hey, let me just check something out. I go to the radar, and I'm seeing all these storms are just about on top of us. It's about to be a deluge. It's about to rain heavy. So I'm sitting there going, all right, the game's going on. No one seems to even care or be paying attention, but we're about to get dumped on. I looked over to my wife. I said, let's pack it up. She said, what? I'm packing up. I'm out. I'm gone. We're packing up. My older daughter, Grace, we're packing everything up. We're got all these chairs and this cooler. We're heading out. And as we're walking out, people are walking in, and they're looking at me like, where are you going? The ball game's going on. I'm like, I'm going to my car. It's about to dump rain. And we get a few steps away from the car, and it dumps rain. And everybody starts scrambling and running around. And I'm in my car going, look at all these people. I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. How'd I know? I saw it. Isn't this book like a radar for us as believers? Don't we know what's happening right now? Don't we know what's about to happen in the future? None of this catches us by surprise. The Lord's going to return one day and everybody's going to be scrambling and freaking out. I didn't know it's really going to happen. I know it's really going to happen. Paul knew it was really going to happen. He understood what life was on this side of eternity. He says, well, hey, if that's true, and I know it is, then all of a sudden Christ becomes my priority and my prize of how I'm living. The rest of the world may look at me like, what in the world are you doing? But I know exactly what I'm doing. Because the word of God is true, and my citizenship is in heaven, not on this side of eternity. And I am eagerly awaiting the Savior to split the skies as he will. Paul wrote about this in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, when he said it this way. Just listen. Titus 2:11, he says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, not just in America, has appeared to all peoples everywhere, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, in this present age, looking forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people who are zealous for good works. The Lord Jesus is coming. We are looking forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. You are, listen, you are children of God. Now act like it. Don't have an identity crisis so that the world looks at you and goes, they're earthly people. They're just like us. I can see it in their lives and how they walk, how they conduct themselves. Their affections are for the things of this world, just like ours are. They're earthly people. Or do they look at you and say, there's something different about that person? They love the Lord. They serve the Lord. They act, walk, talk, dress differently. They're not acting holier than thou. But yet they love the Lord. And they talk about the Lord. They live for the Lord. Their goal, their prize, their priority is the Lord. Let me ask you this morning, is that you? God wants you to strive in that direction, forgetting the past and moving on in the future. He says about the Lord in verse 21, who will transform our lowly, some of your translations say vile or corrupt body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body. I'm looking forward to the glorified bodies. Listen, when I cross the age of 30, then into the age of 40, into my 40s, I walk around the house, I'm hearing bones crack, knees pop, getting older, and I'm saying, oh my goodness, this is certainly a corruptible old body. I'm looking forward to not this old human tent, but a glorified body. Paul would speak about this. I need you to hear this today because this is what the Lord is bringing. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, he says, now I say this to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. That's what's going to happen when the Lord returns and we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says right here that He is coming and that He is going to conform our bodies into His glorious body according, look at that in verse 21, according to the working by which, you see these next three words? He is able. There's a lot of things that mankind cannot do, but God is able. And I want you to know that this morning, that God is able and that you can trust God today. He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. He's all loving, all powerful, all present. He is all knowing. He is eternal and He loves you. And He created you. He created you for a purpose, that you might know Him, that you might have a personal relationship with Him, that you would trust Him, that you would love Him, that you would walk with Him, and that you would glorify Him with your life. And now in closing, I want you to listen. I'm just going to read verse 1 of chapter 4 just so you can understand how Paul ties this together. He says, therefore, in light of everything I've just said, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord. In other words, I want you to stand fast, to anchor firmly, to dig deeply into these truths. And what does that look like for you to stand firm in the Lord? It goes back to what he's just been saying. You can do it. Forgetting the things that are behind and moving toward the things that are ahead, you press on. And listen, Christ becomes your goal, your priority, and your prize. And so I'm going to ask you today, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hands or stand up. I'm not calling anybody out. But listen, being genuine between you and the Lord in this moment, between you and the Lord, and believe me, He knows all things. I want you to give the Lord your attention and say, God, today I make you my goal, my priority, above all things, and my prize. Would you be willing to say that today? Would you be honest before the Lord? God, today, I know I've failed you many times, and I'm grateful that you're a God of mercy, hope, and forgiveness. God, today, I ask you to help me
that you would be my priority and my prize, not just by lip service, but by how that trickles into every area of my life, my job, my marriage, my relationships. God, I submit myself to you. I want to glorify you. Let us pray. Father, as we pray, Lord, every time your word is read, taught, preached, proclaimed, the seed of your word goes out and it affects a change. And I pray, oh God, that today your word would not fall upon deaf ears where the seed of your word is just taken away by Satan. I pray that the seed of your word would remain in the hearts of the hearers today and that it would bear much fruit to your glory. I pray that as we hear your word today, we would look at your word and let it examine our lives. I pray, oh God, that we would recognize that we're not perfect yet. We haven't become spiritually perfect and complete yet, but that we would be willing to press on, that you would help us in this endeavor. I pray that you would allow us by your grace to forget the things that are behind and allow us to reach forward to those things that are ahead. I pray that we, each one of us, would determine today to press forward to the goal for which Christ has laid hold of us, the prize of the higher call. God, give us a bigger vision for our lives than just the silly temporal things that have no eternal value. Give us a higher calling and a greater vision for our lives that we might invest in the eternal. God, I pray that we would follow after and look at the example of godly men who've gone before us. I pray that we would walk in a way that's pleasing to you, that we would understand and set our minds on things that are above, not on earthly things. I pray that we would wake up and that our goal would be to satisfy you and not ourselves. I pray that we would understand that our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly expect and wait for our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would stand firm, dig deep into these truths. Lord, change our thinking if in any way it's not lined up with your good and perfect will for our lives. Father, help us to be children of yours that are sold out for you. We entrust this to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.